Jack keep going. You can't turn back. You come too far. You can't give up. You work too hard. Jack keep going.
Hello, dear learners, and welcome back to another episode of the Dissertation in 90 Days podcast. The world of research. It's vast, it's intricate, and sometimes it's just plain confusing, but that's what we're here for, to navigate this labyrinth together. Now, I want you to think of something. Have you ever stood at the beach, gazed at the vast ocean, and tried to guess how many drops of water it contains? Pretty impossible, right? That's because the ocean's vastness is immeasurable to our minds. Yet, a single drop, or just the right amount, can tell us so much about its quality, temperature, or saltiness. In a way, your research is like that ocean and your participants. They're those crucial drops of water. Ever wondered how many participants you need in your research for it to be meaningful? If you've been grappling with that question, today is your lucky day. We're diving deep into the world of sample size determination. It's not just about numbers, but about quality, precision, and validity. Determining the right sample size, my friends, is crucial. Think of it this way. It's the difference between a melody that captures your heart and one that, well, just doesn't resonate. But don't fret. We're in this together. By the end of our time today, you'll have a clear understanding and the tools to ensure your study truly sings. So, grab your notepads, lean in, and let's journey into the heart of meaningful research. Okay, let's roll back the years a bit. Picture me, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, embarking on one of my first research projects. I was studying the impact of digital detoxes on mental well-being. Exciting, right? So, eager to gather as much data as possible, I thought, why not get everyone and their grandmother to participate? And so I did, almost. But here's the thing, having too many participants, it became overwhelming. The sheer volume of data, interviews, surveys, it was like trying to drink water from a fire hose. I was drowning. And then there was the analysis. So many varying experiences, opinions, outliers. Was I seeing genuine patterns or just anomalies amplified by the sheer number of responses? There were sleepless nights, second-guessing every decision. I found myself sitting there, head in hands, thinking, I wish someone had told me this. That having more data doesn't always mean better data. That sometimes it's about the right data. I was looking for a symphony, but all I got was a cacophony. So if you're out there wondering whether more is always merrier, let my early misadventures guide you. Balance, not bulk, is key. Find that sweet spot. And trust me, your research and your sanity will thank you. All right, let's lay it out there. Every PhD journey, no matter the topic or the discipline, has its mountain peaks and its valleys. But you know, there's this one particular hill, or should I say mountain, that almost every researcher has to climb. And it's this. How many participants do I need? Feels daunting, doesn't it? Like standing at the base of Everest, gazing up and wondering how you'll ever reach the summit. It's not just a number. It's about the essence, the core of your research. Have you felt that uncertainty, that little gnawing in your gut, that late night wonderment where you ask yourself, am I getting this right, or am I just chasing my tail in circles? The anxiety of not knowing if you're on the right track. It's something we've all grappled with. It's like being at a crossroads and not knowing which path to take. And in these moments, you're not just looking for a sign, you're looking for a guiding light. Well, today, we're going to be that guiding light for each other. Let's break down that mountain step by step and find our way to the summit together. Let's break this down, shall we? When you're staring at that big question, how many participants do I need? It's easy to get lost in the numbers game. First off, let's talk about quality versus quantity. I mean, imagine you're making a smoothie. Do you just throw in everything from your fridge? No, you pick the right ingredients. The same goes for research. It's not about packing in as many participants as you can. It's about finding the right blend that gives your study its rich flavor. Now, on to validity. Here's a truth bomb. A correctly sized sample is like the golden key to the kingdom of valid research findings. Go too small and you might miss the broader picture. go too large, and you could get lost in the noise. And let's not forget about resources. Think about it. More participants mean more time spent on interviews, data collection, analysis, not to mention the added costs. It's like setting out to bake a dozen cookies and ending up with 1,000. Sounds sweet at first, but do you really have the time, the ingredients, and the oven space? So the lesson here, more isn't always merrier. It's about balance. It's about precision. And most of all, it's about making sure every bit of effort you pour into your research is purposeful and impactful. Remember, in the world of research, sometimes less is more. And always, always aim for just right. All right, friends, it's time to roll up those sleeves and dive into the nitty-gritty. We've chatted about the importance, and now we're stepping into the arena of action. Let's walk through some hands-on, practical steps together. You ready? Step one, define your population. Think of it like setting a destination on your GPS. You can't just say, I want to go somewhere. You need a specific address. Similarly, start with a clear understanding of who you are studying. Here's a little tip for you. Specificity is your best friend here. The clearer, the better. Exercise time. Grab that pen or open up a note on your device. I want you to write down in just one sentence who your target population is. Go on, give it a shot. Now on to step two, clarify your objectives. Think of this as the why behind your journey. What's driving you? What's that primary goal of your research? Again, clarity is key. It's like tuning a guitar. The clearer the note, the sweeter the melody. So here's your next exercise. Refine that research question of yours. The sharper it is, the easier. And trust me on this, the way easier it will be to figure out your sample size. You're making strides, and I promise with each step, that mountain, it's becoming more of a hill. Stick with me, and we'll conquer this together. All right, cruising along. We've defined our population. We've honed our objectives. Now let's get into the finer details. Hang tight. We're diving deeper. Step three, determine the desired precision. Think of this like choosing the resolution on a camera. Do you want that super crisp, high definition shot, or can a standard resolution work for your needs? Similarly, ask yourself, do I need ultra precise results with a tiny margin of error, or can I afford a smidge of wiggle room? Exercise alert. Let's put this into practice. What's the confidence interval for your study? If you're unsure, think of it as the range where you expect the real answer to lie most of the time. Pin that down. Onwards to step four. Anticipate variability. Imagine throwing a handful of confetti into the air. Some pieces fly high, some stay low. That's variability. In research, we need to anticipate how spread out or variable our results might be. A handy tip, peek at similar studies from the past. They can give you a ballpark figure of what to expect. Now, the moment many of you might have been waiting for, choosing a formula or software. Yep, we're going there. There are some classic statistical formulas out there. And while I won't bore you with the nitty-gritty now, just know they exist and they're your allies. But for many of us, software tools like G-Power or various online calculators are total game changers. They're user-friendly and do the heavy lifting for you. Exercise time. If you can, pop open one of these tools. Input what you've got so far, your desired precision, your variability. Let it give you a ballpark sample size. It's like magic, but you know, science. How'd that go? See, step by step, we're piecing this puzzle together. And before you know it, that complete picture, your optimal sample size, will be staring right back at you. Let's keep going. All right, team, as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of sample sizes, I think it's time for a real heart-to-heart. We've all been there, stepping on the same Lego brick again and again. So let's talk about some common mistakes and, more importantly, how to sidestep them. Mistake one, overestimating the required sample. It's like showing up to a dinner for two with food for 20. Sure, leftovers are nice, but it's a bit overkill, isn't it? We've touched on this already, but it's worth repeating. Aim for quality, not overwhelming quantity. Next up, ignoring dropouts. Oh, the classic pitfall. Just like not everyone finishes a marathon, not every participant will see your study through to the end. It's life. So always, always pad your numbers a bit, keeping in mind that a few might bow out along the way. And here's the biggie, forgetting the budget. Imagine shopping without checking price tags. Sounds dreamy, right? But reality check, larger samples come with larger price tags, not just in cold, hard cash, but also in time, energy, and other resources. Remember, it's like planning a road trip. It's not just about picking the destination, but also ensuring you have enough fuel, snacks, and good tunes to see you through. Armed with this knowledge, you're already ahead of the curve. You've got this. With a dash of planning, a sprinkle of foresight, and our trusty roadmap, you're set to make your research journey smooth and successful. All right, before we wrap things up today, I want to share something with you. Pull up a metaphorical chair. Let's have a heart-to-heart. Every single PhD student out there faces challenges. It's like climbing a mountain. Some paths are steeper, some terrains trickier, but what stays consistent? The view at the top. The realization that it's not just about reaching the peak, but the journey, the growth, the knowledge you soak in with every step you take. I want you to hold on to something. Your challenges, they're molding you, preparing you, refining you into the expert you're meant to be. It's not just about that end goal, but the hurdles you leap over, the puzzles you solve, the lessons you embrace. And this sample size conundrum, with the right strategies, the tools we discussed, and a touch of determination, you can absolutely master it. Imagine your research not just as another paper, but as a beacon, a guide, something that shines bright, lighting the way for others. I believe in you, in your potential, in your journey, and I'm here cheering you on every step of the way. So let's tackle those challenges head on with confidence and make that research truly shine. Well, friends, as we bring this enlightening episode to a close, I just want to say a heartfelt thank you. Thank you for lending me your ears, your time, and sharing this journey with me. And hey, I want you to remember something crucial. You've got this. Truly you do. Every twist and turn, every challenge, it's all a part of your unique PhD story. Now, I'm always looking for ways to serve you better. If you've got questions, or if there's a burning topic you'd love to hear about in a future episode, please don't hesitate to reach out. Your feedback is the compass that guides this show. And speaking of guidance, there's a playbook I believe could be a game changer for many of you. It's titled, How to Get Your Dissertation Approved in 6 Months or Less by Dr. Anthony Robinson. He isn't just talking the talk. He walked the walk, completing 2 dissertations in just 6 months. Grab your copy, dive into his insights, and let's keep that momentum going. Simply head over to writerser.com/playbook to download it. Till next time, keep your chin up, your passion alive, and remember, every step you take brings you closer to that finish line. Take care.